The 2012 presidential election is less than 100 days away. The race is heating up, and the women's vote seems to be at the forefront of the campaign. Until May, President Obama had been the preferred candidate among women, but the numbers are changing, and a New York Times poll shows Mitt Romney ahead with 46% and Obama at 44% of female voters. The Democrats have recently accused the right of launching a conservative war on women because of the GOP's reluctance to accept the birth control mandate and funding for Planned Parenthood. But recently we've seen an influx in panels and speeches by conservative women contesting this claim and arguing it's actually the Democrats who have waged war on women in the aspects of religious freedom and the economy. Kate Obenshain is vice president of the Young Americas Foundation. She fully credits the Obama administration for the invention of the alleged war.
Obama has created this war on women, has created this atmosphere of hostility and suspicion so that there can't be any open dialogue. The leftist approach right now is to turn women against other women, women against men, women against religion, women against religious organizations in order to get their way.
Obenshain believes the purpose of the war on women is to distract from a war on religion that Democrats are promoting.
Why can't we talk about the fact that Obama's policy on forcing religious organizations to provide insurance that covers abortion, contraception, that is a violation of our right to our own faith? But we can't have that conversation because they lose that conversation. They effectively eliminate the opportunity for conservatives to talk about issues related to women.
Susan Scanlon is chairwoman of the National Council of Women's Organizations and president of the Women's Research and Education Institute. Scanlon rejects Obenshain's argument and says religious institutions and other businesses should not be held to separate standards.
The Catholic Church employs vast numbers of people who are not Catholic. That's not just their teachers, their priests, their nuns. They run hospitals. If you're going to be in business, you have to abide by the rules that the government sets up. You don't get special dispensations.
Obenshain wonders why feminist groups are not paying more attention to global women's rights. In 2011, the State Department eliminated the section for religious freedom in its reports. Obenshain says this erases common explanation for the mistreatment of women around the world.
Last year, they eliminated the section on religious freedom because that's, of course, where Sharia law would come in, the rights of Christians and Jews to worship as they want. But that was eliminated. They didn't have a section. This is a document, an official document on human rights violations around the world, and they actually took out religious violations. It's stunning. That's where most of the violations one would think occur. Feminists completely ignore the atrocities that these women are experiencing.
Obenshain also alleges an alliance between radical feminists and Islam.
For some reason, they see Islam as their ally in certain areas because Islam hates America, because we are greedy capitalists, because we believe in the success of the individual, we believe in ambition, we believe in individual rights and freedoms. Liberals, they think that we're also greedy and they despise capitalism and they're in favor of socialistic approach, equality of outcomes. That's more in the Islamic mindset.
Margie Ross is the president of Regnery Publishing. She also believes Islam is responsible for the mistreatment of women, and she spots a contradiction with the current focus of the feminists on American conservatives.
For a culture that is terribly oppressive to women, it's Islam. No one on the left is willing to say that or make any sort of defense of women's plight in that culture. And yet, somehow, our democratic republic, which venerates freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, is the one that the left decides is harmful to women.
Ross finds it hypocritical that feminist organizations are not doing more to help the oppressed women in the Middle East.
They're so busy bashing the right, they don't have time to think about what's going on outside of their chosen target. There are terrible things happening women, and the women in a lot of those countries don't have anyone to speak up for them. And it would be a wonderful thing if the purported women's rights organizations here championed their cause.
Conservative author Christina Hoff Sommers wrote the book titled Who Stole Feminism? And many conservative women share her confusion over this question. Obenshain explains the anti-marriage component within the liberal feminist movement.
The leaders of the movement, they had these really tragic childhoods. They had situations where their mothers despised them. Betty Friedan, I think her mother painted all of the windows black in the house. I mean, their mothers had issues. And I think in most cases, their fathers abandoned them. It was based on a perverted understanding of what marriage is.
Ross sees the alleged war on women by Republicans as a diversion from a liberal war on family, where she says the real damage is being done.
And the war on the family has been going on for years. That's the most harmful thing to women. I mean, if you look at the incidence of marriage and single motherhood, the Obama administration is a huge advocate of single motherhood over married couples having children. And this is devastating to children and to families economically.
As of 2010, 31.6% of all single mothers were struggling with unemployment. The same year, Black Americans were recorded to have an out-of-wedlock birth rate of 72%. Dr. Avis Jones DeWeaver is the executive director of the National Council of Negro Women. She believes the Obama health plan will help reduce these numbers.
I definitely think that having access to reproductive health care services, which do include access to birth control as well as basic screening, it is this ability to have control over our fertility that allows women to go to school, that allows women to build careers, to allows women to be able to properly space their children so that they can best take care of themselves and their families.
To solve the unemployment problem, DeWeaver believes government expansion is the answer.
You have a disproportionate number of women who fill those jobs. So we need more teachers, for example. We need more people to work in government jobs. You know, people always want to talk about our government. We don't need more government workers. Guess what? A lot of the services that you take advantage of, you take advantage of because there's a government worker behind there somewhere making sure that it happens. So we need people to fill those positions. We know that already those are positions that are disproportionately filled by women, and especially Black women.
Ross disagrees. She says the private sector offers better opportunities for advancement for hardworking employees, regardless of gender.
In the public sector and government jobs, the goal isn't a profit goal, isn't a business goal, isn't even a what can we accomplish goal. And therefore, all sorts of other considerations come into play. But at least in the private sector, in my experience, women, if they are hardworking and problem-solving and team-oriented, do every bit as well as men.
The so-called equal pay debate is also a fierce topic among women. Ross argues women do not need government as a referee of fairness.
I compare it to affirmative action, which I think is deeply insulting to the people that it purports to help. I don't think women need the government to come in and as the nanny state and wag its finger at business and say, oh, you're not being fair.
Scanlon, on the other hand, defends the existence of the Equal Pay Act to keep businesses in check.
Why shouldn't women who do the same work with the same skill sets as men earn the same salary? It's the Paycheck Fairness Act. All it would do would be to allow men and women, not just women, men and women to request payroll information on people who are doing the same job with the same skill sets to see if they are being discriminated against.
Scanlon argues that laws are needed for a level playing ground between genders. One of the goals of the feminist agenda is to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. It failed in 1982, and Scanlon says the feminists took on a new tactic to sue everyone.
After the ERA failed in the early 80s, we all got together and said, what's the next step? And what we decided was we would sue everybody. We would go after our rights law by law, program by program, and we've been very successful at that because if you get a fair judge or a fair jury, they're going to say, well, women and men deserve equal rights. Where is the controversy in that?
Scanlon prefers Obama in the 2012 campaign, but she says in order for Romney and Republicans to win the women's vote, the Equal Rights Amendment needs to be on their to-do list.
If I were in the Republican Party, I would certainly put in a plank that said, I support the Equal Rights Amendment, written by Alice Paul in 1923, a well-known Republican who was able to earn women the right to vote in 1920.
DeWeaver says it's only sensible for women to support President Obama because he's trying to advance the women's agenda. But she says he keeps meeting Republican roadblocks and needs an opportunity to be more aggressive.
Only one candidate has really laid out a program that he would, in fact, advance in terms of really getting this economy rolling again. You know, when I look at what the president has laid out in terms of his Jobs Act, which unfortunately met roadblock after roadblock after roadblock in this Congress, it made perfect sense to me in terms of what we needed. In fact, if anything, I'd ask him to be a little bit more aggressive.
President Obama and Mitt Romney are far apart on most issues, including so-called women's issues. But for Romney to win the women's majority vote in November, Obenshain says he needs to communicate the conservative alliance with them.
I think Romney needs to obviously talk about the economic assault on women that the Obama administration has undertaken and the fact that they don't stand up for the rights and interests of women. Let's call him on this whole religious freedom issue, because a lot of women are religiously committed and they're opposed to forcing their religious organizations to ascribe to the edicts of the government. Let's talk about marriages staying together, encouraging men to stay with their families, particularly in the African American community.
This is Vanessa Oblinger reporting for Radio America.